Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I offer my prayer. In you, my God, I trust. Save me from the shame of defeat. Don't let my enemies gloat over me. Defeat does not come to those who trust in you, but to those who are quick to rebel against you. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Make them known to me. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I always trust in you. Remember, O Lord, your kindness and constant love, which you have shown from long ago. Forgive the sins and errors of my youth. In your constant love and goodness, remember me, Lord. Because the Lord is righteous and good, he teaches sinners the path they should follow. He leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. With faithfulness and love, he leads all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. Keep your promise, Lord, and forgive my sins, for they are many. Those who have reverence for the Lord will learn from him the path they should follow. They will always be prosperous, and their children will possess the land. The Lord is the friend of those who obey him, and he affirms his covenant with them. I look to the Lord for help at all times, and he rescues me from danger. Turn to me, Lord, and be merciful to me, because I am lonely and weak. Relieve me of my worries and save me from all my troubles. Consider my distress and suffering and forgive all my sins. See how many enemies I have. See how much they hate me. Protect me and save me. Keep me from defeat. I come to you for safety. May my goodness and honesty preserve me because I trust you. From all their troubles, O God, save your people, Israel.
From Revelation 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know what you have done. I know how hard you have worked and how patient you have been. I know that you cannot tolerate evil people and that you have tested those who say they are apostles but are not and have found out that they are liars. You are patient, and you have suffered for my sake, and you have not given up. But this is what I have against you. You do not love me now as you did at first. Think how far you have fallen. Turn from your sins and do what I did at first. If you don't turn from your sins, I will come to you and take your lampstand from its place. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now, about T and Kathy Thomas. We are so blessed to have these good people here. They are from the lineage of Baptist people all their lives, all their parents' lives, their grandparents' lives. In fact, Kathy is the daughter of a Baptist pastor who was the son of a Baptist pastor and so forth. It goes on and on and on. They have spent more than 45 years in godly Christian ministry, and they've done it in the form most of those years of being missionaries and church planters. They've planted in churches in Burkina Faso, Romania, the Middle East, much of Europe, most centering in their more recent years in the country of France. They speak multi-languages. They're not bilingual. They are multilingual and know many of those. It was so inspiring today to hear Jana and then others stand and give us the rendering of what people do when they worship God, but they're not from around here. For 18 years, they were Southern Baptist missionaries. They later became the very first ever missionaries to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. I said today, but I was only half joking, that one day, I will not be surprised that one day, just as we've had the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, God bless that offering, it sent millions of dollars into the mission field around the world, and I pray it will continue to do that for centuries. But I also expect that one day among Cooperative Baptists, we will have the T and Kathy Thomas Missionary Fund. I look forward to making that happen, by the way. All right. in all of the spare time which they don't have, they found it and they help operate His Nets. His Nets is a ministry to combat malaria in various parts of the world. Their oldest daughter, when they were serving in Africa, became a victim, a significant victim of malaria. And they are doing so many other things and working around the world in pastor schools. It was because of T and Kathy that I had the invitation to teach down in Haiti last year. They've had work there in so many other places. They have five daughters. They have six granddaughters and a grandson. They have so many other things. Some of the tidbits of who they are a people who have listened and responded to the call of God in their lives. They have moved through mission work 37 times. But most of all, they've just listened to that still small voice that has told them what it is they're to do, yes, where it is they're to go, yes, but more than that, who it is they're to be. They are God's people, and they've served Him well. I cannot imagine living in a neighborhood where I hear gunfire, and where I hear gunfire and gun battles just outside my door. I know that that happens occasionally in our own nation, but I cannot imagine living in a place where that becomes commonplace. But if you add to that idea the fact that I have my wife there with me, the responsibility increases. When you add to that that the two of us have the responsibility of our children, and all of that increases, this is the kind of life T and Kathy have at times had to experience in their mission journeying. They were under great threat and peril, but God blessed them, and they did not run away. They stayed put, and they loved and cared for the communities that had been entrusted to them. There's a lot more to their story, but let me just tell you this. A good portion of their book, their work in Europe has been documented in this book about their work among the Romani people. You and I know the term the gypsies, the least of the least of the least people in Europe. And this book was not written by T and Kathy, but it's about their work there. There are some copies here. The books actually cost $6 each to produce, and so they're $6 each unless you can't afford that, and then it's free. But if you can, the $6 doesn't go to T and Kathy. It stays here. They want it to be used for mission causes here in Hominy Baptist Church. So I hope that you'll come up here, get a copy, maybe even ask T and Kathy to sign that in just a bit. We're really glad you're here. We've been planning this, thinking about this for a year now. And now it's your time to tell us who you are and what God is doing.
Well, I told T, I really didn't need to get up here and say anything. We've told Joe too much about ourselves, and he, you know, blew several of my lines already. But I'm very pleased to be able to stand in your pulpit today. I can remember a time in some other Baptist churches where I've been asked to stand here to speak because no woman had ever stood in their pulpit. I can remember being in another church one time where I was scheduled to speak on a Sunday morning at a missionary conference, and they asked me to switch with the male missionary who was scheduled to speak on Wednesday night because no woman had ever stood in their pulpit. And obviously, I wasn't going to be the first one. And I can remember another time where I was introduced as the wife of the missionary. That time, I could hold my tongue no longer. And I said, thank you so much for having us here. And I hope that wherever my husband is speaking this morning, he is being introduced as the husband of the missionary. For 45 of our almost 50 years together, we have lived and worked around the world, mainly in Europe, the Middle East, and in Africa. And as Joe said, with my I almost feel like I have Baptist DNA with grandfather as a Baptist preacher, a father Baptist preacher, and then not real smartly, but anyway, marrying a Baptist preacher. Sometimes some people could doubt my, you know, reasoning up there. But all during that time, it has been a privilege and an honor for both of us to serve as First Southern Baptist missionaries and then as Cooperative Baptist missionaries. And we continue to go overseas and and have just come back in June from spending 9 months in a town in France and helping a church get back on its feet and ministering. And we thank you for your support and your interest and especially your prayers through all these years. I would like to read again one of the scriptures that was read earlier from the easy to read version. Write this to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Here's a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know what you do, how hard you work and never give up. I know that you don't accept evil people. You have tested those who say they are apostles but are not. You found that they are liars. You never stop trying. You have endured troubles for my name and have not given up. But I have this against you. You have left the love you had in the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell. Change your hearts and do what you did at first. If you don't change, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place.
Thank you, Kathy. I, too, want to thank you for allowing us to be here and share a little bit about missions with you this morning. We spoke here one time, a long time ago, and it must have been so significant, Joe can't even remember it. But we have known about you, and we have prayed for you by name as a church, and we're thankful for your commitment to missions and also for the opportunity to be here on this special occasion when we speak about what makes us different as Christians, as Baptist Christians. And so thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. Do you remember your first love? Think about it. Do you remember the first person you were in love with? Well, I remember. Good grief. She was so cute. She had curly red hair and dimples. And when she smiled at me, my knees turned to butter. I remember it well. Oh, my goodness. And I remember that first kiss stolen in the hallway of the school without the teacher seeing. Wow. Now, I haven't seen my first love since our family moved away after first grade and I went to another school. But who can forget their first love, right? I wish I could remember her name, but I'll always remember my first love. And they say you always do remember your first love. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, our first love. Now, Joe, I hope you didn't get nervous when you saw I was going to be speaking from the book of Revelation. Now, I'm from Georgia, and you always say the book of Revelations in Georgia, even though it's not right. I did notice in reading Fred's book that his first sermon here was from the book of Revelation. Do you remember that, Fred? You don't, but I do. Somebody does. And the passage that has been read for us now twice in the first part of the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to churches. And he's speaking to churches like this one, a real church. And he speaks words of encouragement and also a few words of criticism. As I learned in seminary, when you learn to preach, you ought to give a little anesthesia before you operate. And that's what Jesus does here. He says, look, you've been a good church. You've endured some trials and some tribulations, and you've been faithful. But I do have this one thing against you, Jesus said. He said, you have forsaken your first love. Now, no doubt preachers through the years have preached lots of sermons and written lots of commentaries and books, and I looked it up myself. There are lots of explanations about what this first love could be. But for me, and I told you I'm from Georgia, I'm just a simple country boy from Atlanta. That's a joke, by the way. It's pretty simple to me what our first love should be as Christians. And that is what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, right? I mean, that's our first love, isn't it? The first time we understood how much God had loved us, that he sent his son Jesus into the world for us. John 3:16, it tells it all. It's God's love story to us. And as Christians, that should and is our first love. that God loved us so much that he sent us his son. But we're here on a special weekend, a special Sunday, when we talk about what it means to be Baptist. And I want to ask you another question. What is our first love as Baptist? What is our first love as Baptist Christians? Do you know what first brought Baptists together? It wasn't a creed. It wasn't agreement on what the Bible says or doesn't say. The first time Baptists ever came together, it was always about missions. Maybe the first time was in England in 1786 when a bivocational shoemaker named William Carey was meeting with some other pastors, and he asked them, couldn't we get together and support mission work overseas? The end result was the Baptist Missionary Society of Great Britain, which still goes on today. In fact, we have two very dear friends who are missionaries with the Baptist Missionary Society of Great Britain. Here in the U.S., it was our desire to do missions that brought us together for the first time as Baptists. A group of Baptist associations and Baptist churches meeting in Philadelphia in 1814 formed the Triennial Convention to do mission work, not to agree on understanding the Bible all in the same way or to accept a Baptist statement of faith. No. They came together to do mission work and mission work only. And since that time, we Baptists here in America have been known as the missions people. I love that. I grew up in that. We Baptists are the mission folk. What kind of Christian are you? I'm a Baptist. We do missions. That's who we are. As Kathy said, it gets into our DNA, and we just can't help it. Now look closely at verse 5, if you still got your Bibles nearby. Verse 5, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. It starts off by saying, and I want you to underline these three words, at least in your mind, if you don't do it in your Bible. First of all, remember. Remember the height from which you've fallen. What do we need to remember? Well, as Christians, we always need to remember whose we are, who saved us, how we got into God's family. As Christians, we need to remember that we have been saved because Jesus died on the cross for us. I mean, that's our message, isn't it? That's who we are. That's what we're about. Secondly, we need to remember, and Kathy and I, we know this, well, maybe better than many of you, we need to remember how much we have been blessed as Baptists. We have lived in countries where we were not free to worship our faith. I can remember a time when I was preaching, somebody asked me about Pakistan. I stood up and I shared the gospel, and a man walked up to me afterwards. This was out in the open, just in a suburb. A man walked up to me and he said, you know, we killed a Christian for talking about Jesus about where you're standing not too long ago. It wasn't until I got back to where I was sleeping that night that I realized that man was threatening my life. We don't always, and certainly in other parts of the world, find ourselves in places where we have the kind of freedom that we have here in America, freedom of religion. And you know, Baptists were responsible for making sure that that was a part of our government when it got started. You know that. You know your history. We need to remember that God has blessed us. He's blessed us materially, but he's also blessed us spiritually. And we also need to remember that as Baptists, as a faith family of Baptists, we need to remember our history. That it's not about conformity. It's not about turning out Christians that all look exactly the same. But it's rather about celebrating our differences and working together to advance the cause of Christ. For over 200 years, we Baptists led the world in doing mission work. We led the world. We had the greatest, certainly, for decades, the greatest missionary sending agency in the world. We were a world-class mission organization as Baptists. We were indeed the mission people. That's something to be proud of. I don't know about you, but I'm proud of that. I'm thankful that God allowed us to be the tip of the spear, not to make any reference to any other organization, but to be on the front lines of missions. Unfortunately, for the last 30 years or so, we Baptists have become known for some other things, for being narrow-minded, for being theologically bigoted, for identifying ourselves with this political group or that political group, for doing more internal fighting and purging than real evangelism. And in numerous religious surveys in the last few years, the word Baptist most often elicits negative responses, such as closed-minded or always fighting. That's why a church that Kathy and I helped start out in Oklahoma during the brief time we were living there, we decided not to put Baptist in the church name because it just conjured up too many negative feelings among the people that where we were trying to start the church. That's terrible, isn't it? The scripture says we need to remember the height from which we have fallen. You know, I look at it this way. I don't know how some of you historians in the congregation look at it, but, you know, up until about 30 years ago, we had the premier mission organization in the world, and Satan from the outside couldn't find a way to bring us down. So what did he do? He got inside and got us to fighting and quarreling with one another and calling each other names. We need to remember how far we've fallen, where we used to be, the scripture says. But that's not all. It also says in this verse, we need to repent. Now, you know in the Bible, repent means to make a change of direction. It also means to agree with God's assessment of the situation. And the assessment is, we need to remember why we have been saved. Yes, because God loves us, but because he wants us to share. We're supposed to be a channel of blessing. We're supposed to be a canal of God's love to other people. We can't keep it for ourselves. We got to give it to other people. We've got to share. It's not for us to hold on to. We need to change our language from us and them to we. We are loved by God, and we need to share God's love. That's why Kathy and I, we're so excited to become a part of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, to do missions in that traditional way that Baptists had always done missions, doing partnership missions and not trying to do it all on our own and saying we were the best, but to cooperate with other Christians, other Baptists around the world to share the love of Christ wherever we could, both here and to the four corners of the earth. Repent not only means to be sorry, it also means to change. And I'm so glad today to be a part of a movement of Baptists that is inclusive, that doesn't ask who you voted for before you can become a member of the church, but only says, come, let's walk together as disciples of Christ and see where Jesus is going to take us. Let's see what and how God wants to change our lives through the indwelling of his Spirit in us. I'm glad to be a part of that. We need to remember. We need to repent. But we also need to do. Jesus said, you need to do the work you did at first. Hey, that's easy for us Baptists, isn't it? We need to get back on track and to do even more missions. You know, I'm so glad that this church, I looked it up, Joe. Y'all are doing a lot of stuff. C4C, ABCCM, you got a lot of letters there. Daily Bread, Room in the Inn, you got all kinds of ministries going on. And you need to do even more. That's what Jesus says. You're doing a lot. Let's keep doing them and let's do some more. You've done some foreign mission work through the years. You've gone beyond this county and this state and even this country. And we need to keep doing that because that's what is at the heart of who God is. That we not keep the good news of Jesus Christ for us, but that we share it with everyone that we can. We who are Baptist Christians need to keep missions on the front burner of who we are. What makes us distinctively Baptist? It's missions. I started to have a t-shirt made, but I got a Brazilian friend who, whenever anybody would ask him what kind of Christian he is, he would say, I am a Baptist with a capital B. Well, maybe we Baptists ought to have some T-shirts made that said, we are Baptists and we do missions with a capital M. That is who we are. So in this annual event, where you talk about what it means to be distinctively Baptist, I hope the word mission and missions and missionaries will come to mind. I hope you'll remember that. They say the best sermons you can preach are one-point sermons. And my one point is this. What makes us distinctively Baptist? We think doing missions makes us distinctively Baptist. Sharing the love of Jesus Christ with everyone around us and everyone around the world, no matter who they are, what color they are, what they eat, how they look, or how they live, because everyone deserves the opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen? Amen.
Now, T and Kathy's story is extraordinary, but there's one part of it that's very much like each of you, all of us. To be useful to God, you have to have this place in your life in which you say, I hear God calling, I hear God moving, or feel God moving in my life, and you need a place to respond, the place that begins the journey for you. We don't typically do this, but it could be that there's somebody in this room right now who is saying, you know, I may be sensing that God's calling me into ministry, into missions. Well, this might be your place to dive from the board into the water and let God do something immersing you in his great work. But you have to first have the opportunity to say, yes, I'll do that. So if that's you, you'll have that chance in a moment. If that's not you, but you sense from what Kathy and T have said this morning that you've kept that gospel a little too close. It's done you great good, but you've not allowed the great good in you to necessarily filter into the community that surrounds you at work, at school, in the neighborhood, wherever you are. Well, this could be your moment to dive into the pool by saying, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better witness for Christ. I want to be a missionary to the people around me, wherever they are and however they are. So, this time is for us. Number 520 is our hymn of invitation. And we'll sing until you're no longer coming forward. The invitation belongs to you to come and find out what God might be doing in your life. And as you come, would you stand and sing?